Hello and welcome to Unfunny Nerd Tangent, episode 56, Disenchantment. Yes, we've reached the point where we're going to spend an entire episode exploring the ever-growing disappointment and disillusionment in our own pathetic lives. Just kidding. We're going to fill the void the way we always do, with cartoons. I'm Tim Ogney, the three-eyed wizard trying his best to keep this kingdom running while still making time for the occasional occult orgy. Joining me is a magical elf from the faraway kingdom of Australia, where they sing Waltzing Matilda all day and Vegemite grows on trees. It's Grego the Greg.
Hello, everyone. I'm mostly here to remind everyone not to poke the royal tit.
And finally, right here in Phoenix, Arizona, all hail His Royal Highness King Zog Drunkowitz. Actually, Jared won't be joining us. I hear he drank an elf blood potion that turned him into Sprung. It's bad.
Oh, that's a, yeah.
Yeah.
That is disenchantment.
It really is. So Disenchantment really is the new animated series on Netflix from Matt Groening, who everyone should know as the creator of The Simpsons and Futurama. And we're going to do things a little differently this week because maybe you haven't seen Disenchantment. So before we get into spoiler territory, we're going to actually warn you. So Greg, how first of all, would you recommend Disenchantment to somebody who hasn't watched it yet?
I would, only to get their reaction, if that makes sense. Because it was like it was an interesting premise. I thought, oh yeah, that's cool. And like, I like The Simpsons, and to be fair, I haven't watched it for a while. But I love Futurama. Like, I only saw a few episodes when it was actually on, and then I about a year and a half ago I binged sort of the whole thing over about 4 or 5 months, and I loved it. And this one, I thought, well, yeah, give it a go, give it a chance, why not? And I mean, we'll get into it later when we can sort of talk about spoilers, but I'm just not sure if the show knows exactly what it wants to be. But when the season's all said and done, I am a lot more interested in it now than I was sort of halfway through. So yeah, I recommend it just so that people can go, yeah, you're wrong or you're right or whatever.
Yeah, and it's hard, you know, we really kind of have to tiptoe around the spoilers here, but if you look back, The Simpsons was kind of revolutionary right out of the gate. We'd never seen anything like it. It felt really fresh and subversive. If you go back to Futurama, though, Futurama was not a critical success when it first premiered. And really, it took maybe a season or so to kind of hit its stride.
Yeah, definitely. I've heard that online as well. I've read that, I should say, online. People saying, "Oh, you know, these people that aren't that are bagging Disenchantment and things like that. That they got to remember, The Simpsons and Futurama weren't massive hits straight away." And I'm like, "Well, hang on, The Simpsons."
Yeah,
was.
you can't say that about The Simpsons.
Yeah, The Simpsons is only the early couple of seasons of The Simpsons are only sort of low quality or not as good if you go back and look at them now. But when they first came out, like, that, it was, everyone watched it. It was a massive thing. Like, even the sort of the weird animation and stuff like that they sort of smoothed out, and the voices were a bit different and things like that. But it was still that, when that was all we had of The Simpsons, with Bart going to France and Marge and the affair with the bowling alley guy and all that sort of stuff, like that sort of that first season Simpsons, that's what we had. And everybody went, this is great, we love it, it's the new Flintstones.
Yeah, it was, I mean, but it was, but so it wasn't edgy. The new Flintstones, because it was so cutting edge. And there was, yeah. Do you remember there being this huge market for like bootleg Simpsons merchandise?
Oh yeah, it was everywhere. It was, you so could tell, because Bart had like a blue shirt and stuff like that, and you'd be like, that's not fucking real.
Everybody would have these like Rastafarian Bart t-shirts.
Yeah,
I don't know what that was about, but it was a whole thing. With Disenchantment, it kind of does the same thing. It feels very much in the early going, like it's playing it safe, and it's still funny. It still has a lot going on. It's really cool on Netflix that you can watch it in 4K. And I do you remember people saying when like high definition came out, like, oh, it's, you know, it doesn't really matter, it's just a cartoon. And I feel like it's made a huge difference. It was great to watch cartoons in high definition, and now like with 4K, they can just pack so much detail, like you never saw before, into a screen. So that's really a treat for me. I don't.
I was probably one of those people.
Yeah.
when they said, oh, you know, now you can get this on Blu-ray and that on Blu-ray, and I thought, and we, you know, show it on high def on TV and stuff, and I thought, oh, that's going to work really well for like Toy Story and Incredibles and those sorts of things, because all the computer animation stuff, it's already smooth on high def, and it's actually, you can tell that the image you're watching isn't the image that they made in the computer, because it's sort of being, it's being like dumbed down is the wrong version, the wrong word, but it's a different version. Downscaling of it and stuff like that, so you can watch it on your TV. But with like just regular 2D animation, I always wondered, like, how can they be any clearer? That's all there is. It's not a picture. It's not a film picture. And you can see better focus and better detail on the clothes and the guy's face and things like that. I thought, like, it's only a drawing. But having seen some of the Blu-ray stuff since then, I'm like, oh yeah, okay, it works.
Yeah, and now it just kind of gives the animators more opportunities to just pack little jokes, little tidbits, little bits of stuff into the picture, which I feel like I've been noticing just watching Disenchantment in 4K, and it brings me back to something like I was a big fan of like the Sam and Max comics. You familiar with those?
Vaguely.
It became more popular because it was a short-lived cartoon series, and before that, like one of the great LucasArts adventure games for the PC, back in the CD-ROM era.
Okay.
but in the original comic books, the guy who did it, Steve Purcell, who actually works for Pixar now and was like the co-director on Brave, he would just pack these little dumb details, whether it was just like something funny written on a candy bar wrapper or something like that, or like a rat and a cockroach having a knife fight in the like bottom corner of a scene or something, you know, really, really silly stuff. But it's always so fun to just be able to like visually dig into a piece of art like that. And so Disenchantment doesn't disappoint in that regard. But, as the season picks up, it doesn't feel like it's playing it safe anymore. Like stuff happens and the show kind of pivots a little bit, and you know, in the areas where at first it feels like it's playing it safe, toward the end it starts to get a little more like Game of Thronesy. You think that's fair?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, for sure. It starts to have a bit more of an arc to it as well.
Yeah.
Like I think the first this isn't really spoilery, but like the first maybe two or three episodes kind of have a little mini story arc in them, and then it's kind of like, oh, and then it's just another episode and another episode. It's sort of like a situation comedy thing, as in like, oh, and then this happened. But then it does, towards the end of the series, it does roll into a more of a, like, if you haven't seen episode 9, episode 10 isn't going to make much sense to you, so you sort of do need to watch it,
right? And then
not like The Simpsons, where you can just watch any Simpsons episode, pretty much.
Yeah,
any order, it doesn't really matter.
And in The Simpsons, it's almost become a joke how little continuity they have and how everything sort of returns to the status quo. Like they've numerous times referenced that and just kind of had a laugh about it. But yeah, what's interesting about this series is I think it is Matt Groening, maybe for the first time, telling a story that actually has some continuity. And you even start to see little payoffs in this series. You know, a guy gets turned into a pig in the first couple episodes, and then like the pig kind of has his own pig arc as we go on, you know. You start to get like character deaths that matter and have like wider repercussions as they sort of build out this world. And really, once we get through 10 episodes, that's where the show kind of hit the point where it left me wanting more. Like as I was watching the middle episodes, it's kind of like, whatever, you know, I could take or leave this, it's fine. But now I'm really kind of excited to see where they go with it.
Yeah, I was the same. Sort of halfway through, I thought, this is starting to be a bit of a chore to watch. Like, how many more have I got to watch before we do the podcast and stuff? But then, the way that the last two or three episodes come out and the way what happens in them, it is now I'm sort of like, oh, now I want to watch more. So
yeah,
now that it's finished, I would actually watch some more. So. Yeah, whereas before those last couple of episodes, I was thinking, when this season two or whatever comes on, I don't know if I'll watch it. We'll just see. Or it wouldn't be a priority to watch it. But yeah, for sure. Now when it comes on, I'm still not like champing at the bit. Like, oh man, I can't wait. Like, it's not Stranger Things. But
right. When does Stranger Things come back?
Oh God. I looked it up and they reckon it's next year, like middle of next year. And I was like, oh, fucking
How are we supposed to even get through Halloween without Stranger Things? It's just,
I know. It's insane. These shows, like, I understand, like, that these shows have bigger budgets and so things are more expensive, obviously, but that's because it takes time and they are essentially like big movies. So it's not just, you can't just pump out one episode a week, but I don't know. To me, if you're going to be a TV show and you're going to say season one, season two, season three, you need to be on at least every year. I don't know. Just as a good faith thing.
It's the old way of doing it, man. Like that part of the kind of flexibility we have now with these streaming shows is that, or these, you know, premium HBO shows is that now things are kind of shot at their own pace, or, you know, sometimes it's like, can we get the stars? Or sometimes it's like with Game of Thrones, it's like, is the weather going to be right in Iceland for the scene we need to shoot?
Yeah. I'm much more forgiving of the shows that, like the Netflix ones, that then dump the whole thing at once, because then it's just like a movie. You think, okay, you wait 2 years between the next, like Deadpool and Deadpool 2, or Marvel, not so much because there's one every 6 months, but character-wise, you know, there was, what, like 2 years between Thor movies and stuff like that. So I think, okay, that's fine. But the shows that are then, like Westworld takes 18 months to come back, and then you still have to wait each week, as opposed to going Stranger Things, you might wait 18 months, but then here it is. You can watch it all in one hit if you wanted to. So
right, it, you know, it doesn't, like, take you 2 months or whatever to watch the whole thing.
Yeah, you can sort of sit down and go, right, this weekend I'm going to watch five episodes on Saturday and five episodes on Sunday, and then it'll be the same as if you waited 2 years for the next Batman movie or whatever it is, and then you went to the cinema and watched it, and that was it. No one sort of sits around going, oh, what, I have to wait a whole 2 years or 3 years till the next movie. It's like, well, yeah, it's how it's always been.
So. One thing that is also interesting about the way that Disenchantment is working on Netflix is that I think we talked about this when we did our episode on The Tick, which, you know, great show. Everyone should watch it. I think unanimously, Unfunny Nerd Tangent agrees that The Tick is probably the best streaming show ever. What The Tick did over on Amazon is they released a six-episode half season, and then a few months later, another six-episode half season, which... So the first season of The Tick was broken up into two parts, released like several months apart from one another, which I think was at the time maybe unique among streaming shows. But that's kind of what Netflix is doing with Disenchantment, because they ordered 20 episodes, but they're releasing it as two separate seasons. So I don't know if we know when, but in a couple of months we're going to get the second season of Disenchantment, and certainly they're planning, you know, with this sort of big season-long story arc, the continuation of this is part of this plan.
Yeah, for sure. And that's what I originally thought, it was half a season. And then when we talked about doing this episode, that's what I said to you. Oh, do you want to wait until, like, the second half of the season comes out, which would probably be in January or something like that? And then we looked a bit more into it, and it's like, oh, no, this is season one. They've just ordered 20, so.
Yeah. So, but I think it's very much going to sort of feel like season one, part two when it comes out, based on what we know now.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, although you know, the status quo is very much upset by the end of the season. So once again, without giving too much away,
a lot of shows now do end on cliffhangers. Like, I remember the days of Buffy, everything finished and was wrapped up at the end of the season, and that was that. And there was maybe a couple of hints of what was to come, but it wasn't like, oh no, cliffhanger, peril. It was like, nah, big bad got killed off, and then they all went, oh, that was lucky. and then they moved on to the next thing. And you know, you sort of had that same, like,
it was kind of a nice feeling, but at the same time, I think one year that happened, and it felt so final. Like, I think it was like the high school graduation episode of Buffy. I think I watched up until that point, And then I was like, okay, that seems like the logical conclusion of Buffy. I don't feel like I need to watch anymore, and just kind of never revisited it.
Okay. Season 5 as well. They could have ended it there at the end of season 5, the way it ends. Like, if they had said, that's it, you could go, okay. Or if they had been canceled, for instance, like in the off season or something, it wouldn't be like, what? That doesn't make sense. What about this and that? Like, it does sort of wrap up. But yeah. And then even the way it does finally end, it doesn't really. It sort of it does, but it's yeah.
Well, it continued on.
Could have kept
They Joss Whedon wrote the Buffy comics that they called like season 8, right?
going. Yeah.
So
I never read any of those. I sort of skimmed some synopsises of stuff and just to see what was actually happening, but I was like, eh, whatever. That Angel, Jesus. That just ends like mid-scene. It's the Smaug ending.
oh,
From Lord of the Rings,
oh
or
man.
sorry, the Hobbit, where it's just like, okay, here we go, stop. What? Oh, it's like a everyone was complaining about the Sopranos, and it's like, oh, what? An Angel did the same thing. So.
Yeah, so this time at least we don't have to sit around like with Glow, thank goodness, it finally got renewed. We don't have to sit around wondering like, is this it? Are we gonna be able to see this
That
again?
Glow seems like it's going to be back this year, the way they're like talking about it.
That'd be
I
pretty
wouldn't
cool.
be surprised if it's like a late November, December or something like that.
Whoa.
Because to have like commercials already for it saying, yeah, we're going to Vegas and here we go and here's season 3. Like, we didn't get any of that until for season 2, we didn't get any of that until sort of February, March of this year. And then it came out a couple of months later, and it's like now they're sort of already going like, yeah. So I wonder if they're sort of really rattling through it.
Yeah,
Ooh.
maybe that's the other side of the coin here. Like we're complaining that sometimes they take a really long time to get another season of these shows out, but maybe they could do things differently, do 2 seasons a year or something like that for a
There's
show like Glow.
a Voltron remake, whatever you want to call it, show on Netflix now as well, and
Oh, it's
they're
good.
already
It's
on like
good, by the
season
way.
6 or 7 or
Yeah.
something like that, and it's only been out for like 2 years or 3 years or something.
They've been cranking those out. I've learned a lot about Voltron and like the Voltron fanfic communities lately. I can't go into it. I can't.
I need to catch up. I've watched the first season and I think about half of the second one, but I've got to, yeah. I
Yeah.
like that how that too is like this real long story thing as well, so I'm interested in that. So.
But I'm sitting around like watching Voltron, thinking like, okay, when's Lotor gonna show up, and when does Allura get a lion?
Yeah.
Because it's got to happen, right? So like,
I was
when.
disappointed. I was from the start. I'm like, where's Sven? Oh,
Yeah, it was
I need Sven.
Sven is replaced with Shiro, right? Shiro is like the new Sven,
Pretty much,
and
yeah.
yeah.
And I was a bit disappointed that they realigned all the colors of the like Lance always wore blue, but he
Even though
wasn't the blue
he flew the
lion.
red lion,
Through the red line,
Keith wore
but now
red,
he
and
flies.
Apollo
Now
did
he
black
flies the blue
one.
line. Yeah,
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I liked it, the mix up. I remember as a kid when I got the, I was probably, I don't know, 6, and I got the Voltron set and the little men and the go in it and stuff, and putting them together on Christmas Day. And I remember my mum being like, no, this one goes in the red one. No, he doesn't.
Yeah,
He flies
come
the
on,
blue
Mom.
lion. Well, no, well,
Yeah,
doesn't this make
or
sense?
give
Well,
us
no,
the yeah the
you've
yeah
got the guy with the black shirt.
yeah
He's in the black light. Yeah, he
yeah
flies the black light. And the green one's in the green one.
yeah
And the
so
yellow one's
it's
in
gonna
the
be okay.
yellow
Ye
one.
yellow and yellow guys, those guys match yellow and green.
Yeah, and I'm like, no, the red guy
Yeah,
flies the blue line.
does Sven die? That's what happens to him.
He
he's
does in
he's
Japan.
yeah okay, what happened to him in the
He
American
went to
Voltron?
hospital.
He just
They
okay.
cut that. Well, he does die.
Yeah.
It's just that they made one later where he was still alive. Or he sort of the Japanese one, like he gets like struck in the back of the head basically. And in the Japanese one, there's blood splatter and stuff like
Ooh.
that, because they cut that out of the American one, and or the Western one, I should say, because we saw it down here. We're
Oh,
not in
yeah.
America. And then yeah, he's just sort of like, on the ground and stuff. And then he's dead, but then later on, there was this other episode where he comes back, and everyone, I remember being at school going like, but he died. Everyone was like, this is bullshit. He got fucking killed. So, but he doesn't come back and take over the line or anything. He's just like, no, I'm still alive. Like, no, fuck off. Yeah. Oh, I miss Sven. Just, he just has to come in and die. That's all he needs to do.
So, yeah.
But,
never. But yeah. Mm. I don't think they've killed off Shiro yet on Voltron, though, as far as I can tell. On the new the new Voltron, even though he's the surrogate Sven, it seemed like.
Waiting for it to happen.
Yeah.
We'll have to cover that once. That'll be the next cartoon binge.
Oh, Jared's going to be happy.
Yeah. Another show I've got to watch. God damn it, Tim.
That's right. It's only like 50 episodes on Netflix, man.
Start now. You'll be done by the end of the year.
Right. Yeah.
Happy New Year, Voltron.
Yeah. Makes the Marvel shows seem like this show.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of this show.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
How about that voice cast? We got kind of a nice mix here of like some rising comedy stars with some veteran voice actors. Anybody stand out to you?
I had to check the credits to see if it was Noel Fielding. Just because I was like, I've heard of that. I know that voice. And it was like the Mighty Boosh guy and stuff like that. But mostly, yeah, it sort of... I didn't realize it was her at first. Like, what's her name? Abby.
Abby Jacobson from Broad City.
Yeah. I didn't realize who it was at first, but I was like, I know who this is. Who is this? And then, when the credits came up, I was like, oh, yeah, the chick from Broad City. That makes sense. So that was actually really good casting in a sense, because it's sort of like Bean isn't as harsh and as sort of out there as the Broad City girls, but only because of it's a cartoon, I guess.
Right.
But yeah, it did fit really well. So.
Yeah, and then I think Eric Andre is pretty good as Lucy too. I know he's done a lot of great stuff. I know him from Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23 because I'm that guy.
Oh, okay, yeah, I haven't seen that one.
But he had his own show on Adult Swim, which I've heard really good things about. The Eric Andre show.
I thought it was funny too when I saw in the credits that John DiMaggio was going to be in the show, and I'm like, okay, I wonder who he's going to be. And straight away, he turns up. He didn't even the king didn't even say anything, and I'm like, well, that's got to be John DiMaggio. Yeah, because Zog just looks exactly like John DiMaggio.
Although it's funny on Wikipedia, it lists the main character as being named Princess Tia Beanie Maria Beanie de la Rochambeau Drunkowitz. And it's unclear as to whether that's something she just made up when she was drunk in one episode or if that's her actual name. But I love the idea that Zog is named like King Zog Drunkowicz, mostly because it just reminds me of Jared so much.
Oh.
Yeah.
But which one is Sprung?
Sprung is probably the old wizard voiced by Billy West. Billy West, also from Futurama.
That's it. And about 1,000 other things.
And yeah, 1,000. Ren and Stimpy, and you definitely recognize some of these voices. And then also Tress MacNeille voices Queen Una, who is King Zog's second wife. Queen Una, who straight away I saw her and I was like, oh, it's just a cartoon of Melania Trump.
Yeah, crossed with Morticia Adams, crossed with Snake Lady. Yeah, the cast was pretty good. Like, everyone fits their character pretty well, in a sense. There's not really anyone who you're like, like, sometimes in Futurama and stuff as well, like, some of the characters aren't that great. It's like, okay, so...
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I was never a huge fan. It was Hermes or whatever his name is. Like, just seemed a bit over the top. But just the voice of him. It's like, okay.
Oh, yeah.
But then for every one of him, you get Zoidberg and you get Fry and Bender and stuff. So, yeah, they can't all be winners. But, yeah, this show, I guess it's sort of a smaller cast in a sense. Like, there's only really the three main characters and then even the sort of secondary characters, there's not a huge amount. So,
yeah. It did kind of feel that way. And it almost makes you wonder, you know, if the cast is going to open up, if it's going to get bigger, or, you know, who's going to even be around for season two.
Yeah, I guess, are we done with spoilers now?
Yeah, I think we need to maybe it's time that we now put on our spoiler warning and say we're moving in. We're going to start discussing the plot details from season one. So if you haven't watched Disenchantment yet and you want to be surprised by the crazier things that happen, then maybe hit pause and come back later.
Welcome back.
Yeah. All right. Now that all our listeners are gone.
How about that ending? Holy fuck.
Whoa. Yeah. Everyone dies, starting with Elfo.
Yeah. I did think that that's what I was saying before. Like, the show didn't sort of seem to know what it wanted to be. Like, it started off and it's like, oh, poor Bean. She's this put upon princess and she has to act like a royal and stuff like that. But she just wants to go and get pissed and hang out in the bar and fight people and stuff.
Yeah, you get the sense that every episode was going to be like, oh, here's a new guy that you have to marry, you know, because it seemed to keep happening.
It was I thought it was going to be like a trope type thing, like, oh, like this episode, she escapes marriage by doing this, and this adventure happens. And I thought, oh, that could be quite funny, actually, if it was sort of how to escape the wedding each week type thing, or each episode.
Right. But yeah, she does it twice right in the beginning. She has two separate princes from the same family that she has to kind of dispatch. One who was killed by a throne made of swords.
I did like that.
And then one who, like, it takes how many episodes does it take to get rid of that guy? I guess it's maybe...
It's only two, I think.
I guess, but it takes until the entire second episode. You think that he's going to be easy to dispatch, but finally he gets turned into a pig.
Yeah. When they go off to the mermaids that turn out to be walruses. He's like, oh, climb on, ladies.
That was good.
I did laugh at that. Like, yeah. But yeah, the first, I don't know, it just seemed like early on, the show, I almost thought this should have been like a Family Guy show or that sort of thing, because they would go harder towards like the risque stuff, and like, not that it needs to be super dirty jokes and cursing and stuff like that, but I just thought like this show was trying to be a little bit like edgy, but it's not really.
Like, yeah, it's like it goes a little bit dark and like a little bit sexy, but like never really like puts the pedal down in any of those directions.
It's like they want you to sort of think like, oh, Bean, she's like this great rebel and she's sort of like a big drunkard, like getting out and hitting the piss all the time, and then she's always drunk and she's a mess, and then she's a bit of a slut as well, except like she isn't really.
Right.
Like, she isn't really any of those things a lot.
She kind of just wants to be all those things and can't quite pull it off.
Yeah.
She doesn't get to go to the bar as much as she wants. Like, she can't bring home the guy she wants.
And even Lucy, like, I like the little demon character, but he's not really sort of, I thought, oh, he's going to be the sort of this out and out, like, evildoer. Like, he just won't care. And it started off and he sort of was like that. And I thought, oh, okay, he's going to kind of be like this. Not evil, but just, I thought, oh, he'll be the guy that just kills people.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And then not care about it, or the other characters won't quite see it and it'll be balanced out. So you'll have like Elfo is this little like, oh, hi, I'm from the land of fairies or whatever. And then you got the Lucy is the demon. And I thought, oh, they'll sort of balance each other out. And it's like this allegory for the, you know, the devil and the angel on your shoulder type thing. And one leads being one way and one leads being the other way and stuff like that. But again, it's like, nah, not really. They just sort of hang out and do
nothing. They do just sort of hang out. And Lucy almost talks more about what a bad influence he is than actually, like, being a bad influence. He doesn't really motivate anybody to do anything bad that they probably wouldn't already just do most of the time.
He's sort of whole, like, the first couple of episodes, it's just him sitting there going, go on, do it, go on, go on, do it, you'll love it. And she's just, and Bean's like, oh, all right, I'll go punch the guy or I'll drink another beer or whatever. But that she doesn't get in trouble because of Lucy, really.
Right. Well, then Elfo is voiced by by Nat Faxon. Did you watch the show Married at all?
No.
I want to say it ran for like 2 seasons on FX. It had him and Judy Greer were like the titular married couple.
Right.
But it had a lot of other great actors as well. John Hodgman was a recurring character on the show. He's one of my favorites. But I recommend that one, even though it was kind of short-lived. But anyway, Elfo, he becomes this big plot point because they're always trying to use his blood to make magic potions. But his kind of main character arc is that he just wants to hook up with Bean, but they don't like that. That could have been bigger and funnier and dirtier, it seems like, than it was.
Yeah, that's another one. Like, even Futurama was sort of, like, dirty's not the right word, but you know what I mean. Like, even Futurama was dirtier in those sorts of things, where a lot of innuendos and things like that with Sky, what's his name? Fry.
Yeah.
And Leela and stuff like that, you know, like and then because Bender would come in and say shit and you'd be like, oh, Jesus, you know, like, so it sort of had more. I thought it, like, those, when The Simpsons started, it was oh my God, you can't do that. Like, you can't have that on a show. Like, Bart was this little rebel and stuff like that, and he spoke back to his parents and he was this little brat and stuff, and Homer was like this dummy, and
this was back when kids respected their parents. It's crazy.
It was like, you can't say that. You can't do that. And then some of the jokes. And then there's like South Park came along and like completely blew it out of the water. And it was almost as if like, this show is going to get canceled because you can't do that. Like, you can't make jokes about this. And cause it, I mean, the jokes are funny because they're wrong. That's the meat and potatoes of it. But, and then Family Guy was the same, but Family Guy is quite tame when you sort of, it came out at a time where all that was like, it comes on the heels of The Simpsons and South Park. So it's like,
It was still edgy for network television, but you have to kind of put that caveat in there. And Family Guy, I think, like went more overboard with like the non sequitur pop culture humor. That South Park like turned around and made fun of, where they had like the manatees riding Family Guy.
Yeah, exactly. Like it is when that's pointed out to you, it is really like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like a bunch of funny jokes strung together, but not really situational jokes and stuff, but it's still funny. But I haven't seen Family Guy for a few years either, to be fair.
I haven't either. I fell off on that show because it started to feel like the show was laughing at me.
Yeah, like a little bit. Like around like the jokes around were the at time, my expense. I maybe watched like one more season or so after they did the last Star Wars one. It's sort of around that time, so probably whenever that was. But yeah, with this show, it's kind of like, oh, we're going to sort of be edgy and make these kind of dirty jokes, and you're like, not really. But then that might not have been their intention either. It's not necessarily like, oh no, that's not what we meant. It's just, there's a couple of jokes, like Elfo goes underneath the guy's kilt and like punches him in the balls about 10 times and shit like that. It's like, yeah, that's pretty funny. And then it's like, yeah, everything else is just, it's almost like it's like there's another version of it somewhere. And this is sort of like the cleaned up TV version. That's how it feels. Like it just, I thought, oh, this is, I don't know. It's like they've cleaned up the script or something. Like they were going to like, oh, we've got to make it PG now. Oh, okay. Well, that means we had to cut this and that. And yeah, I don't know.
There's so much humor, like some of the darkest and funniest parts of the show are just like these throwaway things. Like you've got the people being thrown in the plague pits and stuff like that. You know, just these like terrible jokes about how bad people are living in these middle ages.
See, that's the stuff that reminded me of Futurama quite a bit.
Yeah.
Futurama was a lot more harsh in its, like the consequences for actions and stuff. Like Futurama was just like, oh, that guy's dead. Okay. And off they went. Whereas no one really dies in The Simpsons or anything like that.
So. Yeah. Except Maude Flanders and, And the people whose voice actors have, I guess, like really died.
Yeah. But like, there would be, like, you know how there's the old trope of like, your heroes can't really be responsible for any sort of innocent death, because then there's no comeuppance and you're kind of like, he kind of killed that guy. Like, that's, yeah, he's not really likable anymore. Like, that was sort of the old way of doing things. Whereas like Futurama, like, they've just sort of like accidentally killed people and stuff, and you sort of laugh it off. It's like, yeah. Whereas there's none of that in The Simpsons.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was one of the great things that Futurama did well, is I think realizing that you could have those kind of jokes in a cartoon, that was just a good forum for that.
Mm. And it's like, yeah, okay, I guess that sort of happened. All right. You know, but yeah, Disenchantment is kind of, I guess, in between. It's not that Futurama is harsh, but Futurama is a lot more edgy, I felt. And so this one's kind of in the middle between The Simpsons and Futurama, I would say. And then just a couple of episodes in the middle there just sort of seemed really flat to me. I was like, eh, sort of really.
Yeah.
Care about this.
I think I saw somebody criticize it as seeming like just an extended Treehouse of Horror or something like that, like almost those level of jokes.
Yeah, it was a little bit. Yeah.
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 But also when they sent this show to critics, they gave them the first 7 episodes. And
oh, well, there you go.
The last 3 episodes are probably the best episodes of the whole season.
Oh, for sure.
It's a whole different show in episodes 8, 9, and 10 where not only are they the best stories overall, but also a lot of the earlier stuff kind of has little payoffs.
Well, even the, like, there's, I'm just looking at the episode list now, like the third episode where what's the guy's name, anyway, the wizard guy that catches the exorcist fella.
Oh, Big Joe.
Yeah, that's him. Yeah. So Big Joe, like, he catches Lucy and all that, and they rescue him, and then they sort of rescue like all the demons.
Yeah, they accidentally like set all the demons loose upon the world. Yeah, we still haven't seen the consequences of that, but now I feel like it's coming. Like, we're like, that's sometime in season 2, we're gonna see where all these demons went and what they did, I think.
Yeah, I get, like, it just seemed like that episode and like the next one with the party, that just sort of seemed like, haha, we have a party while Dad's away, and then he's gone, and we have to sort of clean up the mess. And it was like, yeah, it was a different spin on it, because it was like a Viking massacre. But that really
did have the feeling of kind of like a by the numbers sitcom show. It was, yeah, I mean, they were riffing on that trope, which I feel like every sitcom about teenagers ever has had to do at some point. But yeah, even with the Vikings, like, it was still pretty by the numbers.
Yeah, I think it's pretty much only once you get to like, yeah, episode 8, and it's, oh, okay, like, shit's going down with Elfo and Big Joe is back, and like, I thought he died, but anyway, when he turned up again, I was like, didn't he fall in the lava? But anyway, then it sort of kicks off, you know, where they go back to the elf village or whatever it is, the elf dimension and stuff like that. And then it's like, oh, okay, now we're setting up like long-term plot points, and we're not going to finish them off. So like, oh, he's not an elf. That's why the potion didn't work. Well, what is he? So he goes back and his old man's like, oh, I wanted to wait until I was dead to tell you, because then I wouldn't have to tell you. So he's like half elf, half something.
Have something, but the needle point that was supposed to tell him fell in the river.
Yeah.
And then he was banished from the elf forest forever.
Yeah. And then he got killed. And it was like, okay.
Yeah.
And then I like, though, that the lasted, like, he doesn't come back to life. It's just, he's dead.
Well, one of the crazy things was that right after he's dead, Princess Bean has the opportunity to bring him back to life and doesn't.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, she brings back her mom.
Yeah, her
mom.
That was
a good twist as well, I thought, that she was actually this. She's playing some game as well, turning people to stone, and she wanted to kill Zog. And yeah, so there is a few sort of cliffhangers with, like, what's the mother's name? Queen
Dagmar.
Dagmar. Which, like, so she's up to something.
I didn't understand the reference, but Dagmar is this like statuesque blonde singer from the 50s, or singer and actress.
That makes sense.
I watched a YouTube video of her with singing on stage alongside Frank Sinatra. It was pretty good. She was kind of known for playing like the ditzy blonde role on TV quite a bit.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense, I guess. I mean, statuesque, obviously, because she's a statue, but she's sort of presented as this like hot, you know, she's got the Barbie hair and she's running around in a corset and stuff like that.
Yeah. It's also funny that Princess Bean is like never really presented as being attractive. Like Elfo kind of likes her, but it's funny because she's a Simpsons character and like all, I mean, not a Simpsons character, but a Matt Groening, you know, Simpsons looking person.
Yeah, for sure.
And all Simpsons characters have buck teeth.
Yeah.
And yet,
the overbite. Yeah.
Yeah. And yet they keep making fun of her for her overbite, for her buck teeth. I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah. It's a bit like how they keep teasing Cable in Deadpool 2 for being short. he's not really that short. Yeah. It's just that he's not 6'8" like in the comics. So
yeah.
It's like, out of the way, midget. Like, what? He's still 5'11" or whatever he is.
Yeah. But yeah, he doesn't tower over everybody like he always does in the comics.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so there's a few sort of plot threads, I guess, that's now I'm interested in that because I want to know what the go is with. Well, first of all, Elfo, he's half elf and half something else. I'm going to guess that he's half human. That's my guess.
Yeah, but I don't know. He doesn't seem human.
No, but I just think, what else could you be? Half, like, everyone's half human. Like,
well, yeah.
Star-Lord, Spock, like, no one's, oh, I'm half this and that.
But I mean, they got in the show, we have some, there were the orcs that, well, they weren't orcs, they were called something else, the ones that, like, they killed the entire ship of those guys and it turned out that they were allies. Monster guys. But they got giants, fairies.
The fairy is funny.
She's good.
She's this hooker in the woods. Right. It's like, do you know any tricks? Oh, no, a few tricks or something like that. Yeah, I've done a few tricks in my time. But yeah, so there's Elfo's half elf, half something. Obviously, he gets killed. And there is the last episode has a little post credits scene as well. I don't know if you saw that or not.
Damn it. This is the second unfunny nerd tangent in a row, Greg, where I have not watched the post credits scene.
Do you want me to tell you what it is?
I think, I think for the purposes
it's all of like 3 seconds.
Yeah.
You just see him wash up on a beach and two hands grab him and drag him away. That's all it is. Because I just thought, I wonder if they'll do something at the end as well. Like,
I think, I feel like Netflix cut away. I feel like Netflix just went, because they're always trying to just, when you finish a show, like what pops up is like a, hey, we think you might be interested in this.
Yeah.
And you can't just sit and watch the credits. And so it's hard to have a post-credits stinger on a Netflix show because... Also with the credits on Netflix, I don't know, if you ever sat and watched an entire Netflix credit sequence, they don't just show you the credits, they go and they'll show you like the voice credits for all the different languages that it's made in.
Oh yeah.
It takes forever.
Yeah.
And so I'm not gonna sit and watch a Netflix credit.
Danish, like Danish Zog. It's like, yeah, okay, great.
Danish. Did you know that Zog is also the name of a real life king of Albania who survived over 50 assassination attempts?
Wow, there you go.
But my personal fan theory is that both Zog and Bean are people who listen to the show know me as like a big time stan for DC Comics and Veronica Mars and Rosario Dawson. But what I don't think I've revealed is that I'm also really into the band the 90s one hit wonder Marcy Playground.
Oh yeah,
And Marcy Playground's first ever EP was called Zog Bog Bean.
There you go.
I mean,
Zog's also the name of one of the Triceratons in the original Ninja Turtles cartoon as well.
So, oh man,
there you go.
That runs
deep cuts.
Deep.
Black and white humanoid Triceratons. Triceratops people. Yeah, Zog. So, but yeah, they. Yeah, the other, what are the other cliffhangers? Well, we don't know what's going on with the queen, like
Right.
Dagmar, because she's like, oh, you, she essentially sets off like a tidal wave of stone making goo, and so she sort of playing some sort of weird game, and then she keeps alluding to the fact that like Bean is some sort of I don't know, prophesized hero or
She has some
something
kind
like
of
that.
destiny. She needs to unleash whatever her potential thing is. Well, then we also have the plot from the very beginning where, the people who sent the demon Lucy to bond with Bean, they've been sort of watching these events unfold and plotting, and we don't really know what they're all about. They're just kind of they come in like a framing device or a joke most of the time, but this man and woman who are like wizards or mages or something, and they're one servant guy.
And Lucy gets captured by someone as well. He sort of
Oh.
well, we don't know who it is. He just runs around the corner. He's like, "Oh, it's you!" And you hear like, "Bloop!" Like you hear someone that's
Yeah, it's like
jammed him into a bottle.
it's the sound of a bottle. And so yeah, we don't know who that is either. So there's several cliffhangers and a lot of interesting things happening right at the end. Even though we do have, several episodes where really nothing interesting happens.
Yeah, I feel like you could, because that's what I the last like the first two or three I sort of watched and went, oh yeah, okay, and then I thought, oh, where's it going to go? And then it sort of doesn't. And that's why I was sort of like, ah, oh, this is kind of becoming a bit of a chore to get through. Like, I didn't think it was like that funny, really, and I didn't think it was that sort of edgy either. So I was like, eh, okay, like I'm just sort of watching it to watch it. But then yeah, the last few episodes, like they did seem to be funnier as well, but then it had more of a story and an overarching plot, and I'm like, oh, I'm sort of interested now. So yeah, if they can carry on from there,
Yeah.
with like season two, if it sort of is all one big story or something like that, like then that would then yeah, that would be really good. Or even if you just have like one or two standalone episodes to sort of break apart some story stuff, that's fine. But
I
yeah,
think
I just felt
I'd be
there's too many.
disappointed if they save everybody in Dreamland and go back to the status quo at some point. That seems like it would just be kind of a bummer, you know?
Yeah, I could see they probably will, but I don't think they should. I don't think it should be sort of in the first episode of season two or anything like that. It should
Right.
be like if it was the last episode of season two,
Yeah.
it's like, oh, okay, yeah, all right. That makes sense.
Well,
Because
and
you completely switch everything up then, so.
with them really doing this is kind of the last three episodes are kind of one big arc. You get the sense that there's going to be more there. We're on this sort of multi-episode thing, and we need obviously at least one more to continue the story because nothing can go back to the status quo as we've left it. So
Because was everyone turned to stone? I know Zog survives,
Zog
but.
survives. No, not everyone, but a lot of the major characters. All the knights were turned to stone. Her chambermaid, whoever that is, I forgot her name. But
The
most.
three-eyed sort of wizard guy.
Oh yeah.
Well, the actual wizard, the little, like the Billy West one, and the other guy that's Maurice LaMarche or whatever his name is.
Right.
The tall guy with a hidden eye under his hat. He got
I
sort of
think I think
stoned.
Queen Una survives, right? She's and then Derek, the prince. He's pretty good. Yeah,
Hello,
he's
Father.
yeah.
So yeah, I'm gonna put you up in the tower
He's
for a
like,
while.
whoever survives will
Okay.
come get you.
Yeah. It's like, all right, well, I have to get back to my
Yeah.
chores, whatever it was.
No, he's like, oh, I'm still having nightmares about the giant skillet. That was what he said.
Oh, that's right, yeah. It's just like yeah. And
Man,
I
it's
did
like.
like that the original prince, they used the like the amulet or whatever to sort of revive him, and he was able to stand up and pull the sword out of his head, and then he just fell over dead anyway, and the sword fell into his chest.
Right.
It's just like, oh, now he's dead. That was cool. See, there's like that kind of thing where it's like, oh, we just caused that guy to get killed. Like that, there was a lot more of that in Futurama, I felt. Like a lot more sort of background casualties of their actions, especially with Bender. Like, he would blow up shit and be like, oh, whatever.
did you catch the Futurama Easter egg?
No.
In the I think it was in the final episode where Tess the Giantess has returned the all-seeing eye back to the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
After Elfo's funeral, and Lucy is like rewinding to show King Zog like what happened and how Dagmar was poisoned.
Oh yeah. Yep.
In the like during the rewind for a split second, I guess there's you can see Fry and the Professor and Bender in the time machine.
Oh, okay.
From like there's an episode called like the late Philip Fry, I guess, in the second season where they travel through time.
Yep. Oh, cool.
So suggesting
I did wonder if it was going to turn out that this was just like some other planet. Like I could, because it just says it's Dreamland. They're not really anywhere. It's like Middle Earth or you know, is it on Earth? Is it what sort of?
Well, it's just even in Futurama, isn't there a suggestion that like the whole world returned to like medieval dark ages in between the present day and the future that Fry wakes up in?
Yeah, that's true, because all the aliens come and wipe everything out, and then
we
rebuild and wipe it out again, yeah. Well, I could see it just being a planet somewhere. And, I mean, that would be cool if they ended up doing something like that, where it's... I mean, that would just be Futurama again, I guess, but...
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I could see it just being, like, where they live is just a planet in the galaxy somewhere that... Because that was what Futurama was. It was a planet for everything. So this is just some like medieval planet with creatures and stuff.
Yeah.
I did like that Elfo is basically one of the happy little elves that Lisa used to watch in the early Simpsons.
Yeah, those were just recurring characters. They never really got fleshed out on the Simpsons, but they're always there in the background.
Yeah, it was just the nice little cartoon that Lisa wanted to watch. And when Bart wanted to watch Itchy and Scratchy. But then they quickly switched it to Lisa is a fan of Itchy and Scratchy as well.
So. Yeah, I think it's one of those things where you can't not be a fan of Itchy and Scratchy. It's too good.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I'm interested to see where the show goes from here, just because of the plot points. So yeah. I am a fan. I'm not a big fan of just one-off episodes every week. Like I do like. I don't know what you call it, serialized storytelling, I think they call it, where, you might have to miss an episode here or there, but I prefer it that you'd sort of, I don't know what's going on. Well, you didn't see episode 15, 16, so.
Yeah, and cartoons have done so much in their continuity, in the modern day. The Venture Brothers, which is actually back on right now, and I think back in our Rick and Morty episode, I can't encourage people enough to watch The Venture Brothers. Because it's just a fantastic show, and in these newer episodes, they're just dropping bombs on like characters' origin stories and stuff like that. It's stuff that just reverberates through like the whole continuity of the show. It's fantastic.
See, even Rick and Morty, like it is kind of a one-off episode each week, but then it does every now and then. It's just like, oh, remember this? Oh yeah,
Well, so sometimes they do it like that. But Rick and Morty did it like harder than any other show. In the episode where Morty was like, "Hey, you see those holes in the backyard?"
Yeah,
and all of a sudden it was like, "Oh dang!" It's like that wasn't just a throwaway joke. That's like this is real stuff.
Yeah, he's still dealing with the fact that the Cronenberg world and stuff. Yeah.
But later then, he goes back to Cronenberg world.
Bird person and stuff like that. Like that was
The
girl that was with him for a bit, and then it's like, hang on, she's a secret undercover agent and stuff, and then Rick going to prison for that all of half an episode and stuff. Like Rick and Morty sort of did like a serialized story, but you didn't realize it was happening.
Right.
It's just that when the major plot points kind of popped up, when the turns happened and the twists and stuff, you were like, oh, fuck, this is actually carrying on. Oh, great. So,
yeah.
But then it would just have like a Pickle Rick episode and you'd be like, yeah. Pickle Rick. So, whereas, the other shows, even Futurama, not so much, but they would do a couple of ones that are sort of two-parters and stuff, I guess. So.
Yeah.
But I mean, most shows on TV today, all the big ones are all serialized stuff. Like, you can't just come in and watch episodes 4, 9, and 12 of The Walking Dead, or Westworld, or The Flash, or yeah, any of those sort of shows. It's Green Arrow or Arrow and all that sort of stuff. Like, they're all kind of, they do have their little filler one-offs, but you do have to sort of follow the whole thing. So, which is good, I think. I mean, there's plenty of shows where you can just have a one-off episode and not worry. That's what sitcoms are for, mostly.
Well, and back when The Simpsons was being made, and probably even Futurama, like, there was no guarantees like how many episodes were going to air or if your network would air them in sequence. You know, so you had some limitations there. If you tried to lean too hard on continuity, you could wind up really confusing and alienating your audience.
Exactly.
Sort of like the Clerks cartoon, where they aired the second episode of the Clerks cartoon. Like, the whole thing was a riff on like the sitcom flashback show, but they were just flashing back to their first episode. But the first episode never aired, and so we get this flashback to something that we have no idea what it was.
That kind of worked though as well.
Yeah,
because it's just like, remember when this happened? No. And then Family Guy, which we said before, revolves completely around, like, oh, that's like the time I went to,
right?
I went to Disneyland with Spock. It's just like, okay, so, but yeah. But Family Guy has its place. I haven't seen it for a while. So
some of the, I haven't like gone back and revisited some of those early episodes, but I feel like they would still hold on.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I'm glad that Disenchantment kind of came around in the end, because before the last three episodes, I really was just like, how many have I got left to watch? Three more? Okay. Yeah. Well, and then I was like, oh, where's the next one? So
you do kind of need to watch them all. I guess if you just watch the early episodes and skip ahead to the last three, you maybe would be fine. But it's a payoff. It's enough of a payoff that I feel really good about doing it.
Yeah, I would like Jared, for instance, if he's only watched the first one, I would recommend that he watches.
Yeah.
Either don't watch any more, or watch all of them, afterwards, then you can say, it's not for me, or like, I liked it, or I didn't. But
or if you're Jared, you might just actually be a character in the show, and so you have to. How could you not want to watch it?
What the hell?
You're a king, Jared.
Yeah, my clothes are heavy. Can we have this conversation sitting down?
Oh, I've heard that one so many times.
Yeah, poor Jared. Now he needs a new car. Jesus.
Oh, yeah. That's a...
We'll get a Kickstarter from all the Unfunny Nerd Tangent fans out there. Come on.
Yeah.
Help Jared.
Let's do it.
But yeah. I don't know. I think it was... I just thought my only criticism was it sort of went nowhere for a bit, but then they do kind of amend that by the end of the season. But even still, I didn't think it was as funny as it probably should be or could have been.
Yeah, I think, if it can continue to like bring, I also like the elements of it where they leave the kingdom and kind of go adventuring, you know, where you have like the one episode where there's like a map, you know, and you see it, and it's kind of, it's just a riff on, you know, the Tolkien movies and stuff like that, but then
what was his name? Is it Pendergast or whatever his name is? Him and the other knights come back and like, we're sorry, my lord, we've ridden back from the other side of the world and we lost all these people and the princess. Oh, she's here. And they're like,
he's like, we're pleased to report that our quest was successful.
Yeah, we were back for days because they fly in on the griffin and stuff. Right. Yeah, that sort of stuff was funny, but even then, that's sort of the last couple episodes. So.
Right. Yeah, we don't get as much of it as I want. Hanging around the kingdom of Dreamland just wasn't as interesting as it should have been. Mm-hmm. Even though it looked really cool, like the way the artwork, the way that was rendered, like that was cool.
Yeah, I like that. All the background stuff is kind of like a painting in a sense.
Yeah.
Sort of a painted version of the of the animation. So yeah, and then Alpha, it's so tiny. Oh no, I'm far away. He first sees the castle. So, yeah, I felt like the elf stuff in the beginning was some of the funniest stuff. Like,
oh yeah,
you know, oh, was it Weirdo or something like that? Weirdo doesn't take his pants off for no reason, like shit like that. And they're like, the elves are banging and stuff, and Weirdo, I was just like, yeah, this is, that's what I thought it was gonna be.
It was Shaco the elf who would just be like, yeah. What?
Yeah. And all that kind of stuff. That's what I thought. Oh yeah, this is what the show is. It's sort of, look at these, like,
yeah,
happy little creatures and that. And it's like, oh no, they're all sort of, they're all weirdos themselves and stuff. And just how they're all like, yeah, Weirdo doesn't take his pants off. And then from there, it just sort of went really tame. And it was like,
yeah, oh, okay. Every once in a while, like, I did like it when they went back to the elf village and Elfo's girlfriend Kissy was like, Elfo, there's something I need to tell you. And she brings this little elf out. And he's like, I have a son. And she's like, no, this is my new boyfriend, Shrimpo.
But even then, though, she's like, oh, he's totally cool with it if you still want to mess around. And he's like,
yeah. Shrimpo's like rubbing his hands together.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, see, like, so the elf stuff was quite dirty, but yeah, the rest of it sort of, yeah. But again, it didn't need to be that. Like, that's not sort of part of my disappointment. I wasn't like, oh, it all has to be dirty jokes. I just,
but I think it seemed kind of like that's to, what it wanted to be. They were maybe a little too gentle with Princess Bean. Like, they, like,
yeah,
you know, they send her on some adventures, but like nothing bad really ever happens to her.
And she's not really, it's a weird, like, the character of it, she's not really flawed enough, I don't feel. Like, she's not, like we said before, it kind of paints the picture as if she's this sort of like loser drunk, and she sleeps with all the guys and stuff like that, because she's, like you said, because she's Jared. But
because her dad's Jared.
Jared's daughter.
Jared's daughter, because of course.
Jared's daughter.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, but not really. She doesn't really. Like, the first scene, she's playing poker or whatever it is in the bar, and she ends up sort of escaping and stuff. And you're like, oh, yeah, okay. She's kind of like the princess in name only. She's more just like a, I don't know, Gimli. Yeah. Like, just wants to drink and fight and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, she doesn't really. So yeah, I just, that's the probably the biggest letdown for me is the character. Not that she's not drunk and slutty and all that. You don't need that, but just her character doesn't really have much to it, I don't think, apart from the sort of situational stuff, like, oh, well, you're a princess, so you need to get married to a prince and things like that. So
yeah, there's maybe, and maybe just not enough to make us like her. Like, Abby Jacobson is good as her voice. I really do like the way that she sounds.
For sure.
And but it's like, what is, you know, like, what do we like about her? Like, she's yeah, she's kind of drunk, but eh, you know, like, I think one thing that they like could have done is like made her hook up with Elfo, like, for reals.
Yeah,
like they were. There was a little will they or won't they thing at the end, and then that kind of fizzled out when, you know, Elfo got killed by an arrow.
Yeah, oh, it's coming. Don't worry. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she did. She did have that one episode where she kind of like got really drunk when they were on like a diplomatic visit to the Snake People Kingdom. And
yeah, that's right.
Very
yeah.
nearly started a war between, or maybe did start a war. Who knows?
See, even that, so her character, and then like Lucy as well. Like, is he working with the people that are, you know, the guy and the woman that are watching through the fire and stuff? Like, they're sort of in the background.
It's not clear that he even is aware of them.
Yeah, like I was expecting little scenes where like he would sort of talk to them and be like, "Yeah, it's coming along. I've just got to." You know, we're gonna go here, and I'm turning her this way, or I'm turning her that way, and it's just like, nah, he's just kind of there. He doesn't really seem aware of anything, or I'm joined with you forever, like with your soul or whatever it is. And it's like, well, what does that mean? Like, that doesn't, yeah, I don't know. So then maybe Dagmar's the one that caught him at the end. So.
Oh yeah. I thought it was Big Joe just because he's the only guy we know who can catch demons, and we heard the bottle sound. But
yeah, well, that's what I thought at first, and I thought, oh, that's probably what they want you to think.
Yeah, that and seems a little obvious. And
maybe the mother is some sort of like demon worshiper or something like that, and she's I don't know.
Yeah, she may very well be affiliated. Like those, the people watching could be like her grandparents or something. We don't know.
Well, I could see it being as well. They might turn out to be like the good guys in the end of it. You know, like they're sort of watching over her to protect her from the evil queen, because the queen is like turning people to stone and stuff like that. So I don't know. But they're. Yeah, I'm interested in season two now, which is good, because halfway through I was like, eh, whatever. Go back and watch more Voltron.
Yeah, no matter what, you can't complain about your Netflix subscription. There's value there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. There's always something there.
Yep. All right, I think that just about does it for us here at episode 56. Make sure you follow the show on Twitter at UnfunnyNerdTangent. I am at Tim Ogney. Greg is at GregT13. That's G-R-E-I-G. And all roads lead back to at The Steel Cage, thesteelcage.com, where you can visit thesteelcageshop.com and pick up a Steel Cage t-shirt, but more importantly, our t-shirt, Mon Milthma, the Commander-in-Chief of Soft Style. Also, check out unfunnynerdtangent.com, where you can read Greg's 40 for 40. What do you got for us this week, Greg?
The last one that dropped was number 26, which was Frequency. I know a lot of people probably haven't seen that movie, but if you have, you'll understand why it's in my list. And if you haven't, go see it, because it's a winner. It'll hit you right in the feels. And if it doesn't, we can't be friends. And next week will be 25. And it's a bit of a shout out to Derek, because I'm going to do Gremlins. Next week is Gremlins.
Nice. So,
yeah, look for that one. And Gremlins. We will do an eventual podcast for Gremlins. But in the meantime, yeah, you can check out 40 for 40.
Gremlins, also a Christmas movie.
Yes. And situated in Hill Valley, if you look at this set.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Kingston Falls is also Hill Valley.
It's wintertime Hill Valley, yeah.
All right. That's the end of us for His Royal Highness Jared and Greg. I'm Tim. And remember, kids, entertainment's just a tool that pacifies the masses and leads to the decay and ultimate collapse of civilization. Let's clap along.
Also, don't poke the royal tit.
Yeah. Dragons in the front and call it night, till my eyes exploded into diamond lights, electric lights and sapphire.